As we continue our conversation about the continent of Africa here at Ngong Hills in the Rift Valley in the Republic of Kenya, we are witnessing a relay race between rain and sunshine. That is the beauty of the continent of Africa. And it's so fitting that we are doing this when our focus is on Pan-Africanism. Pan-Africanism has a long history, and its history spanned to the 1900s. In those early days, when in the diaspora, Africans who had been taken away to the United States of America, to Europe and the Caribbean, were struggling to liberate themselves from the chains of slavery and decolonization. It is in those early days that the Pan-African spirit started to emerge in its embryonic days. We, of course, credit a number of individuals, but one considered as the father of Pan-Africanism in those early days was W.B. Du Bois. But the very first meeting was convened by Henry Sylvester Williams of Trinidad. Thereafter, there were many attempts at bringing Africans together under that spirit of Pan-Africanism. It is in that sense that we must see the efforts of individuals such as Marcus Moshea Garvey, although they were not organic Pan-Africanists in the early days, the spirit did capture them. The most iconic of the meetings was the 1945 meeting in Manchester in the United Kingdom, when Africans from the continent were present at that time. Ghana's Kwame Nkrumah was present at that meeting, and that was the period when African countries were beginning to fight decolonization, having been colonized by the English, colonized by the French, colonized by the Portuguese, colonized by the Italians, colonized by the Belgians, colonized by the Spaniards. They were seeking to break the chains of decolonization. And when Sudan regained our independence in 1956, it was not as loud as it should have been. It was when Ghana regained our independence on the 6th day of March 1957, and he said that Africa must unite, that the spirit of Pan-Africanism was given greater meaning. But Pan-Africanism must be understood to mean the solidarity of persons of African descent, wherever they are, within the mother continent or outside of the mother continent. And in its modern conception, Pan-Africanism must be understood to mean the unity of Africans throughout the world for the benefit of the continent of Africa. When I heard Kwame Nkrumah saying in 1957 that Africa must neither look east nor west, Africa must look forward, he was talking about the revival of Pan-Africanism, the decolonization of Africa. And when he said that the independence of Ghana meant nothing until the whole of Africa was independent, it was a clarion call that Africans must unite, not only to liberate themselves politically, but to liberate themselves economically. Hence the famous statement, "Seek ye first the political kingdom and the rest shall come." Today, when we talk about Pan-Africanism, we are talking about a new spirit, a spirit that not only addresses what may be described as romantic Pan-Africanism or sentimental Pan-Africanism. We are talking about using the African spirit for the purpose of the revival of African peoples, wherever they are, in order to achieve success in its totality. And there have been a number of activities around those initiatives. Who will forget in 1966 when Africa met in Dakar, Senegal, for the Festival of Arts? Who will forget in 1977 when Africa met in Lagos, Nigeria, to celebrate culture, to celebrate art, to celebrate many things? And who will forget that in the spirit of Pan-Africanism today, Africans are seeking reparation for slavery? In the spirit of Pan-Africanism, Africans are seeking reparation for colonization. In the spirit of Pan-Africanism, Africans are seeking the return of their cultural artifacts that now find residence in museums in different parts of Europe and America. Africa is saying we must be given that which was looted. Africans are saying that even what you call the debts that are owed to you through your institutions such as the IMF, such as the World Bank, must be seen as the beginning of reparation. And indeed, one must go down history and remember that when in 1963, on the 25th day of May, the Organization of African Unity was established in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, with the presence of 32 heads of states and government. The idea at that time was that Africa would unite. And indeed, after 1963, there was a Cairo meeting of 1964 and a 1965 meeting in Accra, Ghana, which was meant to be the meeting at which African unity was to be solidified. It never came to pass, and African institutions tottered along until a little later, when the spirit was reignited, when Muammar al-Gaddafi, when he became the president of Libya, now started saying, we must revisit the spirit of Nkrumah, we must revisit the spirit of Nyerere, we must revisit the spirit of Modibo Keita, we must revisit the spirit of Samora Moses Machel, we must revisit the spirit of all these great men in order for Africa to occupy her pride of place. Today, when we talk about Pan-Africanism, we remember the leaders who are the pioneers. But we also remember that in the recent past, we have had younger people who have contributed to the spirit of Pan-Africanism. You can name many of them. I've already mentioned Nkrumah, I've talked about Nyerere, I've talked about Modibo, I've talked about Patrice Emery Lumumba, I've talked about Kenneth David Kaunda, I've talked about Samora Machel, and much younger, I've talked about people like Thomas Isidore Sankara. Africa has men and women who now believe that the spirit of Pan-Africanism must be reignited in a different way. And through African institutions, we must now begin to talk about a continent that is no longer ashamed. We must no longer talk about a continent that defines ourselves in the terms of the former colonizers as Anglophone or Lusophone or Francophone. We must only be Afrophone, because it is in that state and from that standpoint that Africa can engage the world from a standpoint of respect, from a standpoint of strength. And recent initiatives which are Pan-Africanist in character, such as Africa Agenda 2063, must not be allowed to be mere slogans. Things and initiatives such as Africa Continental Free Trade Area must not be allowed to be just initiatives which will be dead on arrival. They must be infused with the spirit of Pan-Africanism so that Africans within the mother continent and Africans in the diaspora can begin to pull in one direction. I remember so very fondly these words of Malcolm X when he said that an African anywhere in the world will never ever be respected until the day that the mother continent is respected. And I have no doubt in my mind that what the colonialists tried to erase is now beginning to emerge. History, through the midwifery of people like Cheikh Anta Diop of Senegal, now tells us and confirms to us that Africa is the cradle of civilization. History now confirms to us that the spirit of Pan-Africanism must be the tailwind that will push the continent of Africa in the direction that she must go politically, economically, spiritually, and otherwise. The continent is at a crossroads, and the question is, how do we behave? And I know how. One of the things that we must do now is to decolonize our institutions. One of the things that we must do now is to decolonize our minds. One of the things that we must do now is to decolonize our economies. One of the things that we must do now is to decolonize our politics. One of the things that we must do now is to decolonize our education. And when we decolonize all those institutions, and when we decolonize our minds, then we can go yonder into the world and tell the world, behold, we are Africans who have no apologies to make, and we can invoke the spirit of the pioneering Pan-Africanists. And there is no shortage of them today who have embraced that spirit. And I have no doubt in my mind that it can be done. Kenya's Ngugi Wa Thiong'o has written a book which I commend to anybody who thinks about latter-day Pan-Africanism, Decolonization of the Mind. Because it is true that when the mind is colonized, then you are going nowhere. When writing in 1950, Carter G. Woodson wrote a book called Miseducation of the Negro, he was telling the blacks in United States of America that you have been miseducated for too long, and the time now is to re-educate yourself. And I believe that in the spirit of Pan-Africanism, we are going to re-educate ourselves. I believe in the spirit of Pan-Africanism, we are going to have new initiatives. In the spirit of Pan-Africanism, we are going to give meaning to what Africa stands for, and that is total liberation of her sons and daughters. And when she does that, she is doing that not because she wants to isolate herself from the world, but because she knows that the mother continent is the cradle of all civilization. That is why throughout the ages, in the spirit of Pan-Africanism, we have always been welcoming. So today, let us remind ourselves that our Pan-Africanism is not about building walls around the continent of Africa, but creating bridges in a spirit that will ensure justice, in a spirit that will ensure that we are respected, in a spirit that will ensure that we are sojourners in the world, in a manner that will define our future and in a manner that will define humanity. That is the Pan-African spirit. The conversation around the mother continent Africa never dies, never wanes. But we must say goodbye to meet another time to converse around the mother continent.